Welcome to the Advanced Relationship Podcast. After 13 years as a marriage and family therapist and relationship coach, I'm here to answer your questions and teach you what I know about the great masculine and feminine dance and how you can create the most intimate, loving, and powerful relationships on the planet. Welcome to today's episode. This is your host, Jenny Morrow, and I am really excited to be here today talking about advanced relationships and romance. So Bryce will be joining me in just a bit, and we will be answering two listener questions today. And both of these questions ask about romance. So I wanted to take a little bit of time before we dive into answering the listener questions to talk about this idea of romance and just begin to explore what romance is and how you can start to look at romance in your relationship life in a way that's really helpful, really functional, and can help you create the love life you have always really, really wanted. So first I wanted to talk about what romance is. And I sat with this question for a bit this morning and just thought, what is romance? What are the things that make something romantic? What are the qualities that are a part of what we call romantic? So I thought about romance novels, I thought about romance movies, and I thought, what is it about these things that make it romantic? And what is it that people are wanting when they say, I want more romance? Or is romance important in a marriage relationship, in a partnership? How important is romance? Well, it depends on what is romance. So these are some of the things that I find make something romantic. One is attraction. And when I talk about attraction, I am talking about a sort of magnetic experience, a kind of opening and closing that happens, right? So when you're really attracted to something, when you're really drawn to something, there's like an openness and there's a moving towards it. When you're repelled by something, when you don't want something, you'll tend to contract and you'll tend to move away. So attraction and the opposite of attraction, like being repelled by something, are identified by these states of experience that we have around something or someone. Now, we can see someone that's beautiful. I can see someone that I think has an attractive feature. So I could be attracted to a woman's hair, for example, because I don't always feel attracted to my own hair. I don't always like my own hair. I don't always prefer the hair that I have. And so I'll see a woman with gorgeous, thick, beautiful hair, and I'll tend to feel very attracted to it. It's like I want it. I want to possess it, right? I want to merge with it and have it become mine. So that's one way to describe attraction. Now, I think attraction is something that can both get a bad rap. Like we can judge ourselves, like, oh, I shouldn't need to be attracted to someone, or attraction's not that important, or physical beauty's not that important. And really what we're talking about here is much more than physical. Attraction can happen on so many different levels, but we could judge any level of attraction. We could judge physical attraction, spiritual attraction, emotional attraction. And on the flip side, we can also overemphasize attraction. We can think that it is the thing that's going to get us what we want. So because we're attracted to something, it is going to save us, right? Because I'm attracted to beautiful, thick hair, if I have that beautiful, thick hair, I'm suddenly going to have everything I want. I'm going to have the wealth I want, the love I want, the happiness I want, right? So we can underemphasize attraction and we can overemphasize attraction. And romance is really about how do we navigate this experience of the attractor field, the experience of opening and moving towards something and the experience of being repelled by something. And how are we balancing out those forces? And then what does that look like in the great masculine and feminine dance? If you're listening to this today, I didn't even do announcements, but I'm just thinking, like, if you are interested in learning more about this, go to advancedrelationshipacademy.com. I have fixed the link on the webinar. I know I've been announcing it the last 2 weeks, and then I double checked the link this last week and it was not working, but it is up and working now. So you can go get the free webinar, which is Get the Passionate Love and the Rock Solid Partnership You Want. Now, the reason that's important is because it's going to give you the first foundational piece that I teach all of my private clients. And then from there, you're going to have the opportunity to dive in deeper by learning about the Advanced Relationship Mastery course. And you can also just go purchase that course on the coaching page. And what I would say to anyone listening who's interested and who likes this podcast, go get that course because it is at the foundation of what I'm teaching here. So I use the foundations of that course and I use that process to even come up with how I'm going to answer these questions and how I'm going to talk about these concepts. So if you're interested in better understanding this great masculine and feminine dance that happens, one of the core videos in the Mastery course is all about the masculine and feminine. And then it also taps into some of the other things that I'll be talking about today. So if you're interested in diving in a little bit deeper, go get that course. I've got it right now. It's at a highly discounted rate. So I was literally selling it. I'm not even going to talk about how much because it's going to be changing again. I will be charging more for the course again in the future. Right now, with everything that's going on, I just want people to have the information. So go and get the course, and then that's going to be a great way to understand some of this at a deeper, deeper level. But whether you do or don't get the course, I'm so glad you're here because what we're going to be talking about today is, again, how to navigate this energetic field and how to give it a place in our lives, right? Because, again, we can underemphasize it and we can overemphasize it. So what I wanted to start with is talking a little bit more about this idea of attraction. So again, we can see an image of someone, and it could be a physical image. You could see someone physically. It could be that you have an image of someone emotionally. So they show up in a way emotionally that gives you like a snapshot of some kind of potential. Someone could show up spiritually in a way that gives you a snapshot of their spiritual potential. So there's these different layers of our selfhood and our ability to develop intellectual or mental, social, emotional, spiritual. So there's these different aspects of us. And sometimes we see someone within a certain realm, and we see a moment of them in such a way that it can feel like a very strong attractor. And it might be that that's truly an area where that person excels in a way. They might be, it might just be an area where they are gifted, where they are practiced. It could be an area where they've learned a lot. And so we could feel attracted or repelled by people in these different areas. So what happens is we have an image of someone, and then we tend to infuse that one image with qualities. And we either can put potential qualities that we like onto that image, or we can infuse that image with qualities that we dislike, things that we feel repelled by. And we can assume that that one snapshot is the whole, when that's not necessarily, again, the truth. It might be 50% of the whole. It could be 0.05% of the whole. It could be. So again, there's no exact formula here. And the point is just to trust that when we infuse an image with qualities, that's not necessarily reality. So what happens in relationships is people are drawn together through some level of the attractor field. And even if you chose someone you didn't feel very attracted to, the reason you chose them was based on some kind of attractor quality. Either you felt like they would be someone who could provide for you, you felt like or believed your family would like them. There was some attractor opening. And we're talking about, obviously, marriages where both people are choosing, right? And I understand our choices can also be based quite a bit on our conditioning. So right now, I'm not delineating the two out. I'm just saying whether it was conditioning or whether it was authentic, there was some level of attractor field. So what you're wanting to do when we look at this question of romance and how much romance do we need in a relationship? How important is it? How do you get it? What we want to do again is say, well, what is romance? Okay, it's this experience of this attractor field. And what is it? What are the qualities in that attractor field? So let's look particularly at a romantic relationship. When you pick up a romantic novel, when you watch a romantic movie, these are the qualities that show up in romance. So it's someone who sees you deeply, or someone who lets you in to see them deeply, right? Maybe they share more with you than they share with others, or you feel like you want to share more with them than you want to share with others. And that is really connected to the attractor field of safety. Do I feel safe to go even deeper into myself and to reveal more of myself? Or does this other person present with enough safety inside of them to reveal themselves deeply to me? Another quality of the attractor field is consciousness. Someone who wants to wake up with me. Someone who wants to wake up from conditioning, from convention, from the day-to-day rote routine. Someone who wants to infuse life with something bigger, more meaningful, more interesting, more exciting, more joyful than what my experience has previously been. So someone who wants to wake up from conditioning or convention with me is another quality of romance. So some other qualities of the attractor field that can contribute to this experience of romance are qualities like power, wealth and abundance, beauty, commitment, honesty, freedom or relaxation or letting go. These are all qualities that sit within these attractor fields. And so if your spouse purchases a massage for you for Valentine's Day, that could be communicating, you know, different things. It might be saying, I am wealthy enough to provide this for you. It could also be saying, you deserve this relaxation, this letting go, this freedom. Sometimes the purpose or the intention one person has in a romantic gesture is not necessarily the experience of romance that the receiver has. So sometimes the romance is actually different for both people. And Bryce and I will kind of dive into that a little bit more when we go in and answer a question together. And it's just important to understand that romance really comes from how we each individually relate to these attractor fields. So these are the things that when we watch a romantic movie or you read a romantic book, these are the things that can kind of light you up. And it might be interesting to pay attention to the particular types of romantic qualities that light you up. Now, the reason this becomes important is because what we want to do is we want to look at how do I increase my experience of romance first and foremost in relationship with myself. And then how do we as a couple, if I'm in a partnership or if I'm interested in dating, how do we as a couple infuse romance into our relationship? Okay, so now you have a bit of a background on this idea of romance and attraction. And Bryce is here. He's just joining me and we're going to be diving in and looking at how to apply this concept in your relationship life. Okay, welcome, Bryce. We are live.
Hey, sweet Jenny.
Hi. Feels good to see you today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. Okay, so we're going to be answering two questions today.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to read the first one, Bryce?
Yeah. Okay, so it goes, if two people are great friends, compatible in lots of ways, but one doesn't have compelling romantic feelings for the other, can a deeply happy relationship happen anyway if the person without strong feelings commits and substitutes loving kindness for romance? Are you answering that one first?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was really curious. I mean, I've taken some time to talk about the concept of romance, but I was really glad you joined me today because I'm just excited to get a male perspective on this and particularly your perspective on this because I know you and I view romance pretty differently.
Yeah, possibly.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe I should say, like, sometimes the things that are romantic to me aren't necessarily the things that are romantic to Bryce.
Yeah,
and definitely. Vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this one?
Well, I'm thinking about our own relationship and how in previous relationships, I had definitely gone into infatuation phases, honeymoon phases with previous girlfriends where we got really high on relationship and then there was an eventual crash. I thought that was romance. So I thought romance was initially very high and then it crashed. And that felt very different when I met you because I think I was a lot more grounded. I had been single for a couple of years, traveled around the world, was really okay being on my own and also was open having someone in my life. So I didn't really get that high that I used to experience as romance or that label as romance coming into our relationship. And I think that if there was one thing that I saw that we developed first, it was like a deeper friendship. And then when I think about romance now, it tends to be more of this feeling I have of feeling really connected and really loving, but it doesn't have the same high that I might have experienced in previous relationships.
Yeah, I have a very similar experience of romance with you as well. For me, it also wasn't like a high. It was more of a grounded feeling. And there was attraction. Like, I remember the first time I met you, because Bryce and I met online, and I remember walking into the coffee shop for our first date and seeing you and feeling pleasantly surprised, like, oh, I like his energy. Like, there was something about you that was attractive to me and didn't feel like, I didn't have the same kind of high or obsessive nature that I had experienced in previous relationships.
Yeah, so I guess it depends on how someone's labeling romance, because I know shortly after that, like, I came over and cooked you dinner just at your house, and there was something really romantic about that. But again, it was like we were still kind of feeling each other out, and I wouldn't say I was like totally sold on me being in a relationship with you yet. You know, it seemed like if anything, we would at least become friends.
I agree. I wanted to give more of a comparison for people to understand it, but actually that doesn't feel super important here. I think what is popping up more is like how much of that attractor field do people need to be in relationship? And I'm thinking a little bit about a couple of, I follow a lot of different dating coaches. I like to listen to other people's stuff and hear other people's perspectives. And sometimes I agree and sometimes I disagree. And there is something that I heard once that I've really found has been helpful for me in our relationship. Even now that we're married, sometimes I'll work with this. But I remember one dating coach I listened to, his perspective was that you should at least be at a 7. Like, attraction should be at about a 7. If it's less than that, it's hard to feel motivated to do the work to create romance. And if it's too high, once you get up to like a 9 or 10, it's hard to hold that groundedness. So I don't know. It was just kind of an interesting way of talking about attraction, where it's like you want to be hitting your edges a bit. When you come into a relationship with someone you're wanting to develop a life partnership with, you want it to be something where there's some level of activation. And that doesn't have to be a lot of activation, whether it's a high or a low. It doesn't need to be extreme. And if there's no activation, then what is it that motivates you to ask for a second date? Or what is it that motivates you to eventually propose and say, I want to create a partnership with you? I mean, if there's no emotional activation in any way, it's going to be hard to get motivated to be with someone.
Right, right. And that's interesting that if it's really high, that this person would say that maybe it's not the right person to date.
Yeah, so that was his perspective. And then he also quoted another woman whose stuff I've also followed a bit. And her perspective was, if you're at a 9 or 10, then run. So again, whether that's true or not, the idea is that normally what happens is at a 9 or 10, we tend to overemphasize romance and attraction. And if we're less than that, we might underemphasize it. So maybe kind of the point is that romance and attraction is an important part of a partnership. And so I think there's some level of that that's needed. But it also, I'm just imagining this idea that evolution kind of rides on this line between order and chaos. Too much chaos and things start to self-destruct. Too much order and things stagnate.
Right. So you want to be excited in the middle of excited and grounded.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think about with you, I didn't have to really force myself to reach out and call you again because I was attracted and I did want to spend time with you. It just wasn't like the high.
Yes.
But at the same time, I can see how now as our relationship has evolved and grown, there have been moments where I felt like a 10, like in love and felt romance, even if that wasn't there initially.
And I would say the same too. So that feels really interesting.
So timing might matter as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And knowing that it's not just like a one-time thing. It's not like a static thing. Romance and attraction is not static. Mm-hmm. It can move. And I can feel really open and really in love and romantic and connected to Bryce. And then on another day or another hour, I can feel closed and angry and disconnected and less attracted.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
In my less attractive moments come up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which we all have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I wanted to pinpoint that too with timing seems to matter, because I know when we're talking about creating an advanced relationship, it is a relationship where you flow in and out of like deep attraction, and then sometimes also into just some really real territory that can feel scary and unattractive, but that you're holding both and conscious of both, and really working on even loving the moments that aren't as pretty.
Yes, and that gives me goosebumps as you say it, because it just feels so good inside of myself to know like, oh, neither one's better or worse. Bryce and I can use the moments where we feel really in love. We can use those to grow and develop and bond, and we can use the struggle. I can use the moments where I feel disconnected from him, where I want to run away and shut down and protect myself. I can also use those to grow myself, and ultimately we can use those moments to grow in our relationship.
Right. And I think a lot of people think of romance as like the higher end of the spectrum, where I can find something really romantic about seeing a couple who's raised kids and gone through hell and back and stayed together, even if they aren't always huge fans of each other. There's something about that that's romantic as well. Just the bond.
Yes. Yeah. And tell me more about that as you're talking about it. I'm curious.
Well, I'm thinking about like my parents, who now I think really do have a secure relationship. But the more I learn about their story, the more I see the ups and downs and the pitfalls and being on the brink at times of not knowing if the relationship would work out. And just surviving that in and of itself is an accomplishment. It feels very romantic. It looks very romantic to me. But I don't think that's what people are really going for. They don't want to just survive and bond. They want to have this feeling of being really alive and authentic with each other too. So I'm just kind of highlighting both sides, that even if you're in a relationship where you're like, yeah, we're not really experiencing a lot of the light right now, sometimes even just looking at the dark in a context of light can really lighten up the vision.
That seems so, so true. And I love, because Bryce and I have read a little bit from Stan Tatkin's book, and one of the things he talks about is at the base, like the most important like base piece of a secure relationship is safety. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's like going through that safety survival piece first, because you can't really thrive together as a couple if you don't have that. There is no moving to that level if you don't feel safe together, if you can't trust this person is with me through the good and the bad. And then once that safety gets built more and more, then there's all this space to do the thriving work.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about really challenging and changing the narrative around how much this person is really there for you. Because if you've been in a lot of conflict, it can look like, no, they're never really there for me. But if they've stuck around and if they're sitting in a couple session with you in that moment, it's worth really appreciating that.
Yes.
And some people have a very difficult time seeing that. They're so stuck in the past of how the person hasn't listened or hasn't shown up. And they don't allow any space for that person to show up in the moment.
Yeah, you've really talked about seeing some of that with the couples you've worked with. Yeah, and that feels helpful to hear too, because I think for those listening, you know, Bryce and I aren't saying just stay together either, because there were relationships I was in prior to meeting Bryce where it really came down to, okay, there's dark stuff now showing up in the relationship. You know, it's been all fun or all light, and now here comes some dark stuff. And the deeper question is, are you willing to do the work with me? Are we willing to, you know, get help and support if we need it and dive into this darker place together? So survival is really important and safety is really important. And just staying in something, because that's a quality you've been conditioned to have, doesn't necessarily serve you if you're not getting help and you're not doing the work.
Right, yeah. I'm talking about working with what is, but as far as the future is concerned, I mean, I see a lot of people, one of the biggest issues is the mindset is that relationship should be easy. And so if you relate, or there shouldn't be conflict. And so when it's not easy or there's conflict, they think something's wrong with the relationship or they need to get out of it. And I think the reality is that you have to put in, the amount of work that you put in will translate into the amount of freedom and aliveness and romance that you feel. It takes work.
Yeah.
It doesn't really happen naturally. There's so much going on, so much complexity with two humans coming together to create a family and live in a home together.
I think one of the things that feels exciting is for me to remember that romance is something we work towards.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And so, and I had actually even initially wrote back some thoughts to this question asker. And one thing that came up for me, and I wasn't necessarily planning on reading this, but it feels like I would like to. I put, as for romance, I think it may be a value that's higher for some people than others. So I do believe that some people value romance more than others. In general, I would say women as a gender tend to, quote, value romance more than men. I don't know if that's true. I'd be curious.
Well, the type of romance I'm thinking of is, when I think of that, is really spending quality time together. I think men can get in a pattern of doing things more on their own,
mm-hmm.
and being more independent,
mm-hmm.
and having less need for romance, that type of romance.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing it. Yep. So it might be important for, and this is where I do believe that in general, in a heterosexual couple, I think most of the time, if a woman wants that type of romance, she may need to be the one to kind of lead that. And she can do that, you know, for the women listening, you can do that by creating the romance first and foremost with yourself. So, for example, I literally took relationship and dating courses to learn how to create romance. And so much of what I learned when I was a student of so many other relationship coaches is that in order for me to have a great partnership and romance with Bryce, I have to be able to create it with myself. Like, I need to be able to know what feels romantic to me. And then I need to be able to communicate that to my partner. Because Bryce doesn't experience romance the same way I do. So it becomes a process in being able to communicate that to him and then let him practice showing up in a way that feels romantic to me. And then for me to experience the joy of that so he can actually feel how powerful that is for me in our relationship.
Yeah, and I like that piece about really getting secure in yourself and experiencing romance with yourself, because that's where a lot of it begins. If you're already living a fairly unhappy life where you haven't put in much work and you haven't learned how to become more secure in yourself, all these things that you imagine might really save you from that or rescue from that, this other person that should be doing that, it's going to be fleeting, or it's just not going to work long term. And then you might blame the person for not being romantic enough, when it could be also your openness. It's always, you know, it takes two to tango. It takes two parties to make romance happen.
Yes. Yep. So in our relationship, often my part of making that happen is to create romance in myself and for myself in my life, and then to be open to it, to share with Bryce what feels romantic to me and to be open to receive it from him.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of just the amount of excitement that you show even when I make an effort. Because sometimes I know I haven't really hit the nail on the head with, let's say, a gift or an idea, and you're like, oh, I really appreciate that you tried to do that, and like, I might want to do it this way. But it just really keeps the door open for me to keep showing up like that. Because if I feel like I'm striking out all the time with you, I'm going to feel less motivated to come in and try to be romantic.
Yeah, that feels actually really nice to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you feel like in our relationship have been your parts of the romance work?
I'm a big planner. I like to travel and do trips. So even for our anniversary coming up in a couple weeks, I was just like, you know, I was like, hey, do you want to go here? And we'll go spend a weekend. And it's nothing real fancy. We don't have a huge plan. But I know a couple places you like. And I know that you'd want to do something with just us. So,
that seems like it's really been something you've done a good job of in our relationship and continued to even develop, which is Bryce really does take time and make an effort to think of me, like to think about me and think about what I would enjoy. And he takes time to initiate a plan And all of that is very much the masculine part of romance, which is doing that work.
Yeah. And there are some parts I'm really not good at. Like, I'm good at the logistics side of traveling and making something happen. As far as like a candlelit dinner, you know, maybe I'm not as strong there. Mm-hmm. I'm not like the best cook. I don't always understand what you like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's so true. And I would say, when I say it's so true, meaning those are also not things I've opened up in terms of saying, oh, I would really love this. But the areas where I've shown up and said, oh, I would really love to eat together more often because I have a different way of eating than Bryce. And you've done such a good job of showing up and initiating that.
Yeah, and it just depends. I'm thinking of the love languages too. Like, you like quality time is a big one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about another man I'm working with. And just in the last few months, like having issues in the bedroom, and we've really gone to him doing more housework. And just now he's reporting that like the sex is better and he's feeling more connected. And it's like all starting with this, like showing up and doing the dishes or mowing the grass or making the bed. And it's just amazing. You know, it's like now he's connecting the dots, but you really have to study your partner. They're a complex being that's mm-hmm. always changing.
That's so cool. I love hearing how you're working with men on this, because sometimes I think men just don't know, you know?
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, I should just be better in the bedroom. I should try harder in the bedroom. They feel more pressure there. Mm-hmm. Things aren't working. And it's like, well, what can you do that's really going to show appreciation and care and consideration? And it's like, yeah, I can really do the dishes and let's experiment with it. Oh, what do you know? It's really working. Usually it's the effort, I notice, is what people want to see.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Okay. So anything else about that question
no,
that
good.
Feels helpful? Okay, so I will read the next question. I would love to learn about how spouses who are new parents and business partners can keep the romance alive. Real advice beyond having a dedicated date night.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of the same answer, which it takes time and effort in learning to grow romance. Mm-hmm. And so you have to do that within the context of parenting or business, and that's something we're doing right now. We need to put the relationship as the priority over the business in order to keep the relationship feeling good. And so whenever we're getting stuck in business, we need to take time out and check in on how the relationship's going.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever we're doing, if the connection is good, then it can be romantic. Even doing business like we are right now, sitting down and talking and putting in work and energy can feel romantic in a way.
Yeah, I really like that. And I'd imagine the same would be true with having a child and parenting together. If you can take that time to reconnect, again, first and foremost with yourself, to create that romance with your own life, if you're just so tapped out, are you taking time for yourself? And then together as a couple, like those need to be the foundations.
Yeah, I think curiosity is a big one. I think learning communication tools and really practicing them in the moment
mm-hmm.
are what build romance, because it's easy to get derailed when something comes up if you don't have the skills to repair.
Yeah. And what's one experience of communication or one communication tool that you feel like helps you feel more romantic in our relationship?
Well, we practice listening until the other person feels fully understood and taking turns with that. So there will be times when we'll just take turns asking each other questions about something that is going on in our life, whether it's a struggle, whether it's something that's feeling really good in the moment, something about our childhood, and watching and experimenting with like what really lights you up. So like, for instance, I'm noticing the most recent one is you like to talk about your dreams in the morning. Where in the morning, I'm usually not as awake or ready to take on a full conversation. But I notice after running this experiment that when I roll over and say, do you have any dreams? You want to tell me about them? You know, you just feel really connected. And then I'm feeling really connected to you. I don't have to put in a ton of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start the day off on a somewhat romantic note where we're feeling, you're feeling loved and appreciated by me. And I'm feeling like I already accomplished something as far as connection goes in the morning, which has been a struggle for me.
Yeah. And I'm over here smiling as Bryce is talking about that, because it did take us some conversations of, you know, listening until the other feels understood for him to really connect to that desire I have to share my dreams. I remember in the beginning you said something like, what is it you like about sharing your dreams with me? Mm-hmm. So Bryce would ask, he took time to really understand what about me sharing my dreams with him felt connective for me. And then he started to feel the connection just because it was important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny how you don't even have to know a lot about it or have a ton of interest. Like I don't always have a ton of interest maybe in your dreams, but I'm here giving you attention, and vice versa. There are times when you might ask me about sports or how was basketball tonight when I go play basketball. And I know you don't really know some of what I'm talking about, but just your interest really lights me up. And then, yeah, I feel connected.
I love that. And it's nice to know, like, part of what makes it romantic is that we don't have to... Bryce doesn't ask about my dreams every morning. He doesn't have to do it. It's not like an obligation. It's something that he's learned has meaning for me. And then when he wants to, he asks about it. And like he says, it doesn't necessarily mean he cares that much about hearing about the dream itself. But this is a part of romance, is that it, you know, we have to watch for where it starts to become obligatory. Mm-hmm. And balance that out between how can I keep showing up in ways I see light my partner up, and how can I do that authentically? Because if it starts to become just rote or just routine, then we can actually start to feel resentful and not so good about it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It takes a ton of patience too, mm-hmm. because sometimes I'll give someone this homework in the first few weeks of working with them. It's like, okay, what do you want? You really want to be heard. You really want to feel connected. You really want them to appreciate you and do something for you. You have to be willing to give the thing that you're wanting without expectation, at least for a period of time, and really test it out. Because for the most part, people pick up on what you're doing subconsciously, sometimes more consciously, and we all keep this tally in our head, this reciprocal altruism where we want to keep things fair. And so you notice someone's paying attention to you, you want to pay attention to them more. And you have to experiment with this. But if I see some couples holding back, like, no, I'm not going to give an inch till they give an inch, and so they're just staying on opposite sides of the court here, and they're not in the game together. And so really leaning in and taking some risks here that yeah, you might put yourself out there and it might not go well. And really sitting with whatever that feeling is when your expectations aren't met, disappointment, yeah, is a big part of the work.
I love that, because if you can take those risks, and whether they go the way you expect it or not, you can bring the energy back to yourself and keep practicing self-love and self-romance. Then again, you have the capacity and the resource to go out and be romantic again outside of yourself. But I think for a lot of people, if you're feeling resentful, like I'm giving and giving and they're not appreciating, you know, check in with yourself. Are you giving to yourself, or are you just giving to your partner? Are you putting all this energy into giving outside of yourself, but not really giving to yourself as well? I think for women, so much of the edge is to turn your attention inward, because mm-hmm. we just want to be relate. So many of us women just want to focus on relationship. It's the easier part for us. It feels so natural. So for women, the edge is often bring your attention back inward and be romantic with yourself. I think for men, so often it's take your attention outward. Stop focusing so much on yourself. That matters. But that's the part that comes more naturally to men in general.
Yeah. You have to continually remind myself, because I can get really self-absorbed. Again, like, okay, what I'm in this with Jenny right now. Like, what could benefit the relationship, not just me?
Yeah.
So my default is what's going to benefit me here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was really trained to, you know, self-protect and claw my way up the ladder, the hierarchy of other men. So there's a lot of conditioning there.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I would say, if I were to just give like a one sentence answer to your question, I would say the thing that keeps the romance alive more than anything for me and Bryce is learning how to communicate more deeply. That would be the thing that I notice keeps the romance alive for me.
Yeah, I agree. Putting in the work, the more work you're putting in, the more you're growing and learning about each other, staying curious, the more you're going to feel the romance. And it won't matter if you're working or parenting or you're on a date night. It won't matter as much what's happening externally.
I agree. All right.
Okay. Yeah, that feels good there, Jen.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone. If you want to get connected and be able to listen to the podcast follow-ups and stay connected to our community, go to Facebook and join the Advanced Relationship Podcast community. And anything else you want to add, Bryce, as far as announcements?
No, I work with a lot of men, emotionally unavailable men, and women who are with emotionally unavailable men. So you can check out my stuff at brycebauer.com.
Great. Thanks so much for being here.
Bye.
Bye-bye.